Championship Man is up for grabs, and he knows he's not alone. He can't decide between Kerry and Cork, and at this stage he's given up trying to come down on one side or the other. He's going up, of course. He's only missed one since 1976, 83 as it happens, and though he wouldn't say it in so many words, he's always suspected his maiden aunt deliberately chose that very day for her nuptials, fully aware of the mayhem it would occasion. Championship Man drove the pretty couple away that day, with the match commentary up to the last, and he couldn't help but manage a wry interior smile as the rains poured out of the heavens, almost ruining the day and causing them to cut short the photographs at the local abbey. That serves them right, the one day of the year they had to pick, he confided in his wife in those reflective, indigestive hours after the meal, before slipping away to see the Croke Park Dirty Dozen chaos for himself on the Sunday game. He didn't even bother coming in for the first dance, and to this day, he has never watched the video. Today, it's been the usual routine. A full 100% haircut first off, papers under his arm. Who does Breheny go for? How did the examiner handle it all? That Mortín Beag is a shrewd boy, right enough. He puts talk on the barber, who plays a bit with the club and is fond of a good bet. And between them, they arrive at the startling conclusion that if it opens up, Cork will win it. But if it stays dull and tight, well, he knows he won't go the full game without getting behind one of the teams. He's been in this boat before, and in a funny way, he looks forward to that one moment, that one incident, that sends him hurtling headlong into a particular camp, where he'll proceed to offer the kind of vocal support that would impress even natives of his newly adopted home. You see, every All-Ireland has a cohort of floating voters. They ramble along without any strong inclinations, only to find themselves moved to partisanship by an injustice, a feat of great skill, or a sudden, inexplicable, spine-tingling affinity with a long-suffering county who, like his own crowd, know far too much about the nature of unrequited love. When Niall Cahalan engaged a none the wiser in De Gormley in 93, thousands swung to Derry. And bizarrely, when Tony Davis belatedly picked up the bill, they swung right back again. When Liam McHale was, to subvert a newly popular phrase, too big to stay in 96, there came a surge towards Mayo. As it happens, Championship Man found himself caught up in the maelstrom of both tides, and apart from the year his own boys were beaten by a point, he can't ever recall feeling more deflated than that famous September Sunday he joined the hordes of green and red supporters in a silent funereal march up past Barry's Hotel and back to his car on Parnell Square. That's what he loves about tomorrow, the permanence of the possibility of sensation. He'll recognise the moment when it comes, and there will be no turning back. Ideally, his wife will jump on the same wave, so to speak, because he still recalls with some anxiety the 4 days of all picture but no sound that followed 86. He went with Plunkett and the boys after the penalty. She wanted to see another 3 in a row. But even that in itself was better than 83. I'll be off now so he can hear who won the sevens.